if the devil tries to tempt the Son of God, just think what he's going to do to us and as mere man. But God has given us the armor. Ephesians 6. And when we were in our study with Pat, she went through Ephesians 6 and talking about that armor of God. And, of course, the Word of God and the armor of salvation and the knowledge of that salvation that he has given us in Christ Jesus. And all those things that we have at our hand that we can arm ourselves with in order to defeat the devil. And so he is faithful that he won't allow us to be tempted more than what we can bear. And so no sense in looking for an excuse, no sense in blaming others, no sense in saying the devil made me do it, as a comedian of the past said, but it is because we have lost sight of who we are and the Lord of our lives and his will for us in our lives. And so then in Hebrews, it talks about the sin that so easily entangles. It's not, you know, it's easy. You know, sometimes the devil makes it easy, you know, and especially if we let down our guard that he then pounces. And so we have to arm ourselves. And then we talked about in Ephesians 4 there, walking in a manner worthy of the calling. I thought Keith did a good job Wednesday night talking about that. This calling us to be a holy and blameless, without reproach people, calling him to himself. We were without God. Now we have God. We were without hope. Now we have hope. We are not worthy. It's the calling, and it is the one doing the calling that is worthy. And so we are to walk that way with humility and gentleness. You know, Jesus walked that way, didn't he? And patience. And he, by his being, by what he did, he preserved the unity of the Spirit. He, the Father, and the Spirit were one in purpose, in mind, in word, in teaching. And so, you know, we are to strive together in love to do the same thing as Christ did. And so to grow up, you know, that's the so what of it all. To grow up in all aspects, to be like Christ. To be like him in every aspect. And so we then come to the next portion of our study. Wisdom from God, better. When we face these trials and temptations in our lives, so often the world that we live in has so many opinions and ways of solving it and ideas on life and what is good. You know, something good's going to happen to you today. Or, you know, go with it. And after all, as Pat was talking, God wants us to be happy. You know, that's what they say. And just go with the moment. I heard that again just last night. And it's not important what you believe, just, you know, it's just love and go with the moment. And then I don't know how many read the email about the movie Noah. If that is indeed true, and I don't believe it's falsely, you know, presented, can you imagine in our world Noah taking a righteous man and his family and making a mockery of the Word of God and that story to the point of just complete, you know, Satanism, you know, to that, you know. And so we live in that kind of world that is going to mock not only us, but the Word of God and the truths that we hold dear, or that we should hold dear, and stand up for, you know. And it should actually make us angry to the point of speaking up, you know, against it. And sometimes we just want to go hide in the corner and, you know, well, it'll be what it'll be. And we'll teach our children. But sometimes it's important to have a voice, you know, whatever realm of influence you might have, to go back to the Bible. And that is not presenting it. There's one about Christ, and I'm sure that it is full of innuendo and made-up stories in order to make it a really fun flick, you know, for people to go see. So, wisdom from God is better. Let's turn to 1 John. I did not give you this one, but I wanted to read 1 John, the first chapter, verse 10. Because, you know, it's completing the thing about if we confess our sins and so forth and so forth. His blood cleanses us. We looked at that and how Jesus beats the devil and how we can beat the devil also if we confess our sins. But it says in verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So we can set our heart, we can do the best we can, but we are going to fail at times. And so, my little children, chapter 2, verse 1, I'm not writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have that you may not sin. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. And the one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So, as we come to, and I gave you these passages here in 1 Corinthians, and it's just showing the wisdom of God, where it's from. 2 Peter 1 says that men didn't write these things or come up with prophecy by their own will, but by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. These men spoke. And so, you know, the Word of God, and we can be convinced. And let's turn over then to Psalm 19. We do want to read that. I'm hopefully that you read it at home. It's a passage that you should know. Psalm 19 and Psalm 119 extols the Word of God. And if you need in a low ebb of the day to turn and to get new resolve towards the Word of God, read Psalm 19 or go over to 119 and just, I mean, portion after portion after portion. It's either talking about how great it is and how it helps us. It also is prayers on what, you know, how the Word of God will affect us. But in Psalm 119, Pat, would you read 7 through 9, please, in verse 12? No, 19. Psalm 19, 7 through 9, and verse 12.
The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. Verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
Who can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden faults.
Okay, and then it goes into a prayer that says, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. Then I shall be blameless. And I shall be acquitted of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I think that's one of the first passages that I learned growing up that I needed to memorize or write down and keep, you know. It was important for my mom for us to know that. And then when I got mouthy or when, you know, she caught me in stretching the truth, that's what kids say. They don't say lie, you know. Sort of color it a little bit, you know, to not be in so much trouble. Then I would have to go and write it some more, you know, and sit there and say it and pray about it. And so it has, but it's a good thing, you know, for all of us to start the day with, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable today, you know, and work towards those ends. Okay, Psalm 119. Any thoughts about anything that we've covered so far, said so far? In Psalm 119, of course, it is the long psalm. It's meditations and prayers related to the law of God. And I gave you verse 5. Bobby, would you read 119, verse 5, 7, and 10?
Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments.
Okay, and verse 11 and 15 and 16.
Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word.
It's almost like vows, isn't it? You know, when you say, I will to the Lord, you know, remember you have to be careful what you speak before the Lord, whether it be in prayer or in vows. And in the Old Testament, they had to take absolutely, you know, the vows, you know, serious, because God held them to their vows and punished them if they did not hold their vows. And here he is. He says, I will, or I shall. He's talking to the Lord about his word and his attitude towards it and what he's going to do with it. And so what should our attitude be? I had you, you know, to read these passages. What did anyone put down? What is an attitude?
The attitude that I came up with these passages and some others of the psalm, it's the only wisdom that we can depend on. It's trustworthy. It's always going to be right.
It's always right.
He said in verse 42, so I will have an answer for him who approaches me, for I trust in your word. It will just go to God's word. The answer is there.
Exactly.
Sometimes we think our problem is greater than anything God can help us with, and that's just not so. It's greater than money. Talks about that in verse 72.
Right.
So many things we put confidence in, and we our confidence in God's word. And so many times people, they don't read the Bible. They read books about the Bible rather than go to God's word and truly get their wisdom from there. They want to read what some other man has told them. There's nothing wrong with reading other books, but the most important book to have your knowledge and your confidence in God's word.
Exactly. And that is why in verse 5 there is a prayer. This is the prayer in verse 5. Also, oh, that my ways may be established to keep thy statutes. Is that the way we look to God's word? You know, are we going to establish our ways, you know, according to his word? Or are we going to go along with, I think, or that's the way my family did it, or that's what mom said, or that's what dad even, you know, thinks is right, what the world thinks. We have to settle in our heart that we are going to search. And, you know, and the my verse there in verse 11, the word I have treasured in my heart. What do we do with treasure? We think it has great value. We protect it. We guard it. But in God's word, we treasure it in our heart. and we keep it in our heart and we establish our ways by it. It is so funny because in Proverbs 4:6, wisdom from God is the one that guards our lives and keeps us safe. And so it's not like any treasure of the world that we might want to, you know, to treasure and to guard and to keep safe or put somewhere, you know, inside. We want to take it and allow it to shine in our lives and to guard our lives and to keep us in God's Word. And so treasure it in our hearts to have, for it to have great value, the greatest value that we can have, so that it can establish our ways. And it says we need to meditate on it. You know, meditate is just not picking up your Bible 5 or 10 minutes a day even, and just reading. Think on it. Meditate on it. Think about what you're studying. Put it together with the other truths that you've already learned so that you may grow in it. And it can become part of your thinking, not just, you know, pick up the book and read a couple of verses, put it down on the table or on the shelf and say, well, I did my Bible reading for the day. So it's to think deeply on, to absorb. And with delight, we should want to get in there, be thankful for it, and delight in it. Okay? And not forget it. It says to seek it with all my heart, soul, and mind. Okay? And so that's how we're to love God, isn't it? And if you love God, you will keep His commandments. Okay? So we're to love it. We're to seek it. We're to treasure it. We're to allow it to be the force in our life, the guiding light. And like Pat said, you know, it has the answers. That's what Paul told Timothy as the young preacher, isn't it? That all Scripture is God-breathed and it's adequate. It has everything, not only the man of God, the preacher, or the prophets of the day, but, you know, us. We can pick up God's Word and we have everything we need for life and godliness. And so, any other thoughts on those passages? Okay. In Psalms 119, we're there. 1 through 6 and 9, how can one be spiritually prosperous? We just ought to have been talking about that. Just, what did you write down?
Keeping His commandments.
Yeah, exactly. Keeping His commandments. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Okay? And so, you know, how can a young man, I like that, verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure, cleanse his way, not walk to the side, not be caught up in evil that's out there, with all the youthful lust and all of the world's influence that's around all of us, especially the young of the day, by keeping it according to thy word, it says. So, and by having a prayerful resolve. You know, sometimes we, you know, I messed up in that, or misspoke, or I did something. You have to confess, you repent, and you resolve to do better, you know. And so that's a constant thing. It's not, you know, just a one-time thing at baptism or another time when you really messed up. It can be a daily when we go to God in prayer, in the morning, at evening, any time during the day that we need that extra strength, you know. Tuning our hearts in prayer to God can help us to resolve, to be more steadfast, especially if we're facing something that we're going to have to deal with. If someone is struggling and we're going to be talking to them. If it's our children, Allison was on the phone last night with us. You know, it's a constant thing. She's got four teenagers, you know, and even one's out of the house. But, he's coming back, and he's fixing to be engaged. And, I mean, you know, it's a constant training, constant teaching. And, it's a prayerful, and it's energy draining. And she says, you know, Eric and I would not get through this if we didn't have the Lord to fall back on and His Word, and know that it will be for their good, you know, and to instill that into the children. And so, by having a resolve. Okay, let's turn to Proverbs. Yes, dear.
Before we leave this,
yes.
One thing that has helped me with this chapter, mm-hmm. if you go through every verse in this chapter, has some way the law, God's word, it described.
Exactly.
It helps me to go through and mark every one of those law of the Lord, testimonies, His ways, your precepts. Those
yes.
Things.
Yes.
And then I underline, like in verse 19, walk in
mm-hmm.
the law of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever the law of the Lord, what is it pointing back to? Observing it, walking in it, keeping it. And then sometimes it'll, like in verse 15, it says, I meditate
mm-hmm.
and regard, delight in, not forget. And then in verse 19, he says, do not hide your commandments from me. So I think sometimes if we'll, this passage, but I used to, when I would do my daily Bible reading, I'd come to Psalm 119 and go, oh, man, mm-hmm. it's
no.
Now sometimes I just go read it when I'm not
yeah.
even reading in the Psalms.
Yeah.
And so sometimes if you're wanting, okay, what can I study today? What can I do for the next few days? Read and mark Psalms 119 so that when you do read it, these things just kind of jump out at you and really help you remember, and sometimes they're comforting.
Exactly.
You're struggling and you think, what do I need to do here? You go back and you know God's word is what you need, and this chapter can be very rewarding.
I did the same thing. I have I have six things marked also in that. I have the prayers. I have what God's word is called. I have the word revive marked because it talks about how I can revive your soul when you're down, that I might live. And those the blessings, you know. Okay, and like I said, the prayers and even the worship. There are some things in there about worship, you know, because of God's word and that kind of thing. So, you know, like Pat was talking, it's always good. I'm also a person who loves to do marking because, as she said, it jumps off the page, and when you're looking, you can this one like what prayer? Oh Lord, don't put me to shame today. Verse 31. You know, let me act according to thy commandments. Revive me. They are my counselors, 24, says the testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors, as she said. And so, you know, and you delight in it. And all these things, all these blessings that come from the Word of God. And like I say, be gracious to me according to thy word. And it just all the prayers and stuff that's in there. Teach me good discernment and knowledge. We need discernment sometimes, don't we? We need good judgment about things sometimes. So where are we going to get the principles and the discernment to help us make those judgments? You know, right here in God's word. And so, very good point. Yes.
Not used to marking. Don't try to go through and mark everything at one time.
No.
When I first started marking, all I had marked was what God's word was called.
Yes.
The next time you go back and read it, there are other things that stand out. The other markings that come up. So
that's a good point.
What happens is if you feel like I got to mark all of this at one time, you're overwhelmed.
Yes.
So just read and mark one thing at a time, one thing that stands out to you. And that's how you learn to read and mark. Because as you do read, you have this mark. Well, then it causes you to think of something else that needs to be marked.
And it's individual. What you need. What is going to help you the best? It's not, you know, Linda's way, Steve's way, whatever, you know, but just those things that you need. Yes, Elizabeth.
Well, all of the things you were talking about in this chapter, I think it helped you do what verse 4 says. Help you keep them diligently.
Very good.
Because you're studying all these ways of pleasing Him.
Exactly. Okay. If you have the attitude of heart towards it, if you delight in it, and you search for it diligently, then you will keep them, right? And so you can't be lackadaisical. You can't. It can't be a dread, oh, I've got to read my Bible today, you know, or go to hell type of attitude. It is, this is going to be life for me. This is going to be wisdom for me. And even when things go absolutely horrible around in my life, this I can take comfort in. And so, you know, that's one of the ways that Christ has overcome. He's given us hope. We can have hope, but we have to love Him enough to follow Him. Okay, very good comments. So, let's turn to Proverbs 1:5. Explain, and we're going to just quickly look at these the wise men and the foolish. And you know, we've said all these things about the Word of God. In Proverbs 1:5, what's the difference? What's the wise man versus the fool, or what does it say about one of those? Amanda, would you read 1:5, please, of Proverbs?
A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel.
Okay. And let's read Proverbs 1, 7a, also Amanda.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Oh, the whole thing, I'm sorry.
But that's okay.
Fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Fools do what?
Despise wisdom and instruction.
Okay, so I hope you got from that, those readings, a wise man fears, reveres the Lord, you know, and he will hear and increase in learning and the wisdom. But what will a fool do? He will, you know, he hates, you know, and spurns.
Remind you of Rehoboam.
Yes, yes. And let's read verse 22 of chapter 1 and verses 29 and 30. Elizabeth, would you read that, please? Proverbs 1, 22, 29, and 30.
How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded, and scoffers delight themselves in scoffing? Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof.
Okay, what do you learn from this? What are some of the basic truths here? What's the number one problem?
They're not seeking wisdom. They're running
from it. Because they don't fear the Lord.
Right.
They don't fear who He is or what He has to offer. You know, they don't fear the Lord. Why should they listen to someone that they don't hold as the God of the universe? They don't fear Him. And so therefore, they're going to, and they don't want instruction. Okay? And another truth there is they choose that. They choose that. It's sort of like in Romans 1. They really don't have an excuse. In Romans 1, the ones that God gave over to depraved minds and everything is because they chose not to be thankful or to look as God the Creator, but they started to serve themselves. Okay? And so, that is, you know, the reason here, too. They choose not to. Do we want to be a wise person, or do we want to be a fool? You know, really, there's no in-between. There really isn't. We can either choose to want and to search and to delight in the law of the Lord and to fear Him and want to keep His commandments, or we choose not to. That's the only two choices. And so, and they spurn wise counsel. I know that we've all had occasion when we've been talking to someone who has either been a Christian at one time and left the Lord, and, you know, they just don't want to hear it. Are you? They're in trouble with drugs. They're in trouble with immorality in their lives, and you try to talk to them, and they just don't want to hear wise counsel. They spurn it. In fact, I've seen people make fun of people who are trying to make good choices and who are serving the Lord right in front of their face. You know, that's in my family. And so, you know, it's hard. It's out there. And we have a world of it. And we have it even sometimes to people who are closely related to us and whom we come in contact with a lot. And so they are foolish. And to make excuses or to blame something that might have gone wrong with other people in their lives in the past, God doesn't accept that. The bottom line is, what are you going to do with God, and what are you going to do about Jesus Christ? That's the only thing. Okay, so fools despise women. Yes, dear.
In this section that yes. scares me, verse 28, they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will
yes.
seek me diligently, but they will not find me.
Absolutely.
If people can reach a point, and I don't think this means that if someone comes to God truly repenting and giving their life to God, that they can't find it. But sometimes our life is such a mess. We say we're seeking God, and we're diligently trying to find answers. But I think the key is verse 29, because mm-hmm. they hated knowledge.
Right.
They don't have the knowledge. They are so far and so deep in whatever, another religion, sometimes married to people they don't have a right to be in. And they're diligently seeking, but I'm still not sure they're seeking for knowledge. They're seeking for a way that their situation
appease themselves. Yes, and to appease their conscience.
And so
exactly.
So I this verse, because mm-hmm. I have to look at myself. Are there mm-hmm. things that I don't love the knowledge of God enough in to deal with or to accept or to deal with in the way God wants me to? And so we need to be careful that we don't fall into that category.
And that's true, because right up above there it says dread will come like a storm. And it does. In our home Bible study, we had a man that was talking about things at work. And in his humble, simple way, he was saying, you know, we think that people are happy, or they're, you know, their life is easy, and they're just out there, you know, and all that sin. He said, but really it's not true. He says, you listen long enough or you wait long enough and you will see, you know, the messes that they have and the heartaches and the struggles that they have because of the sin that's in their lives and the not having the knowledge or the comfort and the peace that comes in Christ Jesus. And I thought that was, you know, very consoling, you know, just from a man that works out in the world and is not in a high position, but, you know, just but come up with those thoughts, you know, one who doesn't usually get before the congregation or anything, but has had a from a simple heart, you know, said that this, but in their lives and what he has seen and how it's changed his life, is using the Word of God and prayerfully every day trying to do the best he can with it, even out there on the job in the world. And so it will, and it will keep, you know, yes, we may have some dread come on us and the storms of life will come, but we can face them. And, you know, in Revelation, overcome, but, you know, endure even to the point of death. You know, just stay faithful. Okay. Proverbs 1 teaches us a good lesson on the wise versus the fool. Proverbs 15. If go on there and we'll finish this and then go on. Proverbs 15:32. And this was something that surprised me, and I wanted to include this because people want to be happy. They love themselves. They want to feel good about themselves and all that kind of stuff. In Proverbs 15:32a and 19:8, the first part. Sandra, would you read those two, please? 15:32a.
He who disdains instruction despises his own soul.
And
19:8.
Mm-hmm.
He who gets wisdom loves his own soul.
Okay. That's pretty drastic, isn't it? You know, do you hate your own soul? If you ask them, they would say no. But the God of the universe says they hate their soul because they're not doing what's going to save them. You know, they're spurning all the wisdom that's going to help them. But the wise man, what? Loves his own soul. Love neighbor as yourself. We are supposed to love ourselves. We're supposed to nourish and care for it and, you know, feed it, our soul. To, you know, we're to love our soul with that caring love. And the way that we love our soul is being wise in the wisdom of God. Any thoughts on that? We'll quickly do one more. Proverbs 1:29-33. Pat led that up that on that because 28 is where they will call on me and I will not answer and seek me diligently, but they shall not find me. Like she said, you know, it's not that they're going to not try to look. It's just they're not going to have a heart turned towards that. They can get to such a point in their life that they're not going to think that this has any benefit for them. Okay? And sometimes, though, they'll even call up the preacher or they'll call up somebody who's been talking to them and or those kinds of things. Or some, I had a person call me up one time that we were just talking in the grocery line and they called me up and because I had invited her to worship and given her my number and everything if she needed a ride to come. And she called up and, of course, her life was in a mess. And so, you know, she wanted to know the quick fix, you know, instead of, you know, dealing with the whole sin thing. But so in verse 28, that talks about that. Verse 29, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof, so they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive shall kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely and shall be at ease from the dread of evil, like we were talking about a while ago. Okay, so contrast the end result of the fool and the wise as spoken to here. What's going to happen to the foolish?
They're going to suffer the consequences of their ways.
They're going to eat of the fruit of their ways. God promises that, you know, and don't we see it? And if it's not in this life, which most of it is, you know, it's going to be in the next. They will answer before the judgment bar of God. The wise will live securely. Do you think that just means that we're looking for heaven one day and no matter what comes? Or can it mean that we can have a little bit of peace of mind and peace on this earth even though the devil is out there? He's bombarding us. The trials and temptations and the troubles of this life. You know, bad things happen to good people. But we can be secure. We can have peace. We know the God of the universe is looking with love down on us and will take care of us even if it takes eternity to do it, you know. But His Word helps us in this life to make good decisions. He wants everything to be good. He created everything good for us. Our marriages, raising our children. He wants those things to be good. And He gave us a way to make them good. Any comments before we have closing prayer?